How's it going?
Good. I think probably what you guys should do is hand the phone around a bit, and then we'll go to speaker when the band gets ready. Give me a second here. Okay, cool. And let me try and figure things out here. That's running. I need to make sure I'm recording. And that is recording. Okay, let me count down real quick. 3, 2, 1. Hello, you're listening to Jim Race on MotoGPOD, and I've got kind of a wild configuration this afternoon. First off, I have the rather damaged Melissa Paris online with me to start off. Melissa, how are you feeling this afternoon?
I'm feeling a lot better today than I have for the past week, but definitely still feeling a little damaged.
can you walk me through a bit through what happened going into turn one? Because that was really kind of a weird crash. It was you were mid late pack, and if you can remember any of it,
definitely. I didn't even really crash. That's the bummer of it. Like, you know, I'm still trying to get a hang of the rolling starts. They're pretty tricky. And for once, I actually timed it right, and I shot up a couple rows worth of people. And as we went into turn one, I saw one of my friends ahead of me make the crazy move straight to the inside and tuck the front, and it was like just chaos, like just total bowling ball effect, like taking people out as he slid to the outside of the track. And for a minute I thought I was going to be able to ride by the carnage, but then I realized like I wasn't, and I was actually about to run over one of my friends. So I was on the brakes as hard as I could, you know, trying to get slowed down, and I actually almost had the thing stopped. And I was like, oh, good, like, I'm going to be okay. And I thought I was just going to probably bump his bike and tip over. And then, unknown to me, two people behind me had crashed, and one of their bikes actually just slid straight into my right leg. So I was actually still upright on the bike, and the thing just slid right into my leg and just broke it. So, and I was kind of like, just bailed off the bike and commenced screaming at that point.
did you hear or feel the snap? I mean.
Yeah. I knew instantly, like, because it was right. I wear Daytona boots, which do an awesome job of protecting your ankles and everything. But I thought that kind of force, something's got to give. So, like, right on the edge of the boot, basically, is where it snapped. So, like, I knew, like, as soon as it happened, like, exactly what was going on. It's funny because when the paramedic first got to me, I told him it's Tim Sib, like, at my boot, and he's like, oh, we'll see about that. And then when they finally ripped all my leathers off and stuff, he was like, yep.
they didn't cut your leathers off. That's always been my greatest fear. You know, because you race in USGPRU all the time, and you've had great results there, and I'm always. I race in AFM, and I'm always paranoid that my leathers are going to get cut off me.
Oh, I didn't care. I was like, just get them off and make it stop hurting. And I didn't care that they were cutting them off. I didn't care if they lit them on fire. Like, I just wanted someone to pull my leg straight.
Oh, so you were that bent?
Yeah, it was like when he cut the leathers off, he was like, yeah, it's broke. And then they took the boots off, and you know the boots are like kind of two layers.
Yeah.
So when he got the first layer off, and then as they went to pull that inner carbon fiber booty off, I felt the thing pop and pull straight.
Ow.
And it was like instant relief.
Well,
I was like,
yeah.
Oh, okay, I'm going to survive this.
Well, crap. So, and you'd had a hood up to that time. So, you've had a I don't know how to describe your AMA races this season have been great, and you've been making a big step up every time that you run. And so tell me what your end point is. What is your goal?
Well, I mean, the goal this year was my first year racing in that class, and was just to get, you know, it's all a learning experience, because obviously, I mean, I want to be racing with the fast guys in the front, so we've made a lot of progress this year, probably not as much as I'm going to be happy with, but VIR was just like a tough weekend all around. We've been on the road for 7 weeks straight, so I was really tired and honestly like looking forward to a couple weeks off.
And how did you get talked into driving that behemoth cross country back and forth? I have no idea.
I didn't get talked into it. I had to beg my husband for it.
Really?
We've been doing like the truck and trailer thing before, and it was like it's such a hassle, and like you're on the road and you're staying in hotels. And last year was really hard because I did a full season of USGPRU, and we had some conflicting this or that. It just sucks being away from my husband, and I know he doesn't like to, you know, travel any more than he already needs to. So the idea is if we get the big race rig, it's a nice RV, it's our home away from home, and it just makes it easier on the two of us. You know what I mean? We have a place to be home when we're not home. So, and driving is not bad, actually. The thing drives really good. It's really fun, and I don't know. I feel spoiled to have such a nice way to go racing, honestly.
Yeah,
compared to driving an SC50, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do, because I've slept in plenty of, like, I've slept under canopy before in the frigid.
Yeah.
So,
you know.
Yeah, I do. Well,
it's a big step up from sleeping in the bed of my S10 pickup truck when I met Josh.
You're in full on posh land now.
Yeah, I definitely don't ever forget how lucky I am.
So Dr. Ting like pounded some big old titanium rod into your leg, and that's got to be nasty.
Yeah, like honestly, this surgery is, I don't think like I anticipated how much just the surgery itself is pretty traumatic on your body.
Yeah.
So like my knee and my ankle are pretty sore, but I'm just really happy that I was able to get to him and have him fix it.
your x-rays were very impressive.
Yeah. I know, right?
I looked
cool
at
that. Until I realized that it's my leg.
Yeah, I looked at that and I'm like, fuck it. I mean, the first thing I thought was that hurts. And there's no way around that hurts.
Yeah, very thorough.
So you're not going to make, obviously you're not going to make New Jersey, but.
Not New Jersey, but the instant thing, like as I was in the Intel Medical Center, it took me about 20 minutes to realize that. Remember that I'm in the points running for the 250 championship with USGPRU, and I'm not quite ready to just give up on that. So we let Dr. Ting know the timeline, and I have a race the week after the AMA event at New Jersey, so I'm going to definitely try to ride there. That's the plan.
You know, Doc Ting is kind of like Doc Costa in MotoGP. He'll, like, just give you the injection, the perfect place that you can go out, even if it's not quite the right thing to do.
Exactly. Well, you know, he says, like, at this point, the thing's fixed. It's stabilized. It's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of me and tolerating, like, the pain and getting the mobility and flexibility back in it. So the cool thing with Dr. Ting is, like, he really works with you and kind of, like, lets you have a little control over your destiny, you know?
Right.
So, like, I'm in a position now where it's up to me to work hard to be ready to race when I want to race, so. Like I said, the pep talk from Josh helped. The pep talks from my dad helped. So
okay.
Now I'm getting kind of excited to get into PT and get back moving around again.
You know, we should put you on a Moto2 bike for next year. That'd be pretty cool.
If you know someone, I can make that happen.
You know,
that would be like the ultimate bike for me.
There is no reason why you shouldn't be there, and I know that. That you have the spirit to you know, build a team up, you know. But we'll talk about that later.
Can you hear Josh warming up on the drums?
I can. It's Chaz Patty. Well, I thought you were the drummer.
No. Josh plays drums. I play guitar usually.
All right, so for those people that don't know what's going to happen here, we're going to next talk to Chaz Davis from Wales. Some people actually add an H in that word and have no idea why they do that. But Melissa, if you can pass me over, and thank you so much for talking to us.
Thanks for having me. Here's Chaz, and
Yeah.
I'll let him entertain you for a second.
Okay, and we'll talk again after the week.
Hello.
Hi, Chaz. How are you doing?
Pretty good, thank you.
Good. So we've just done a quick thing with Melissa and her GIMP mode. You're writing for KWS Millennium Technologies on the. tell Josh to be quiet. He's making a hell of a racket in the background.
Jim says be quiet, Josh. he's oblivious. He's in the zone.
And with Rocky and Jimmy cranking the wrenches for you, and you've had kind of an up and down season. Talk to me about VIR, because it was a tough race for you, wasn't it?
I don't know if we can call either of them a tough race. I didn't even feel like I got to get into the race. But yeah, it was a tough weekend, all in all. It was it started on Friday. A couple of small things went wrong, and then it was kind of catch up from there. And with a bike that's been developed in a without really any help, any outside info, a different electronics package which we had on it, pushing the boundaries of it, stuff's going to go wrong, and everything did go wrong on the weekend in Virginia. So, yeah.
So, are you guys running Motec or the Magneti stuff?
We're running Morelli now, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been since Laguna.
And that is a notoriously hard package to try and upgrade as you add the bits and bobs that they have from it. I mean, you can drag yourself all the way back to the number 57 days on the Pramac bike that wasn't that long ago, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
It's the Morelli stuff, like just to get it working on the bike and get it going, to make all the wiring harnesses and all the in the correct way. Nobody makes, because it's got to work with the stock wiring.
Yeah.
To a certain extent.
Yeah.
Nobody makes just bolt-on bits for this, and especially as the bike's kind of 10 years old, everything's got to be trial and error. And we rolled out in Laguna with it first time, and it worked. We didn't break down. And that
was a fucking kick-ass result for you guys too.
Yeah, Laguna was a good weekend. Then since then, the bike's actually improved since then. I feel like I should have been on the podium at least three of the last four races.
Yeah.
So it's just we've got two more chances now, and hopefully it all goes to plan.
Yeah, it seems like you're like poised on this like tipping point, and I can see it for the team. And frankly, you guys have gotten a fair amount of bad slag over the last few races, which a big part of me seems it's really unfair, because you are trying to develop a bike that is patently probably a huge underdog in the class. And people are going, they're not doing what they should. Well, what they're doing, they're doing is basically building a foundation for next year when, if all goes well, and I certainly hope you'll be back to see you on the RSV4, because that would kick ass.
Yeah, that'd be really cool. It looks, obviously, from what I've seen in World Superbike, and had a little tour of the bike at Miller. I went to the World Superbike there, so I had a little look at the bike, and it does look impressive. That thing is a kind of far cry from what the road bike is, obviously, with all the trick bits on it. But both of them look really good, and it's surprising. I pretty know how to build a great chassis. The Miele chassis that I'm riding at the minute, I'd say it handles better than the bike I rode last year.
Really?
For a 10-year-old bike, yeah.
Wow.
I feel like I can turn it better on corner entry than what I could for most of last year. There's a couple of things which you have to contend with, a little bit of flex and stuff like that, as it's an older frame and quite heavy.
Do you find that the rotating mass of the twin makes it harder to turn in?
A little bit weighted mid-corner, but really, not too bad. Now I think we've got the chassis. We found a couple of things. We found something with a rear shock in Topeka, which I've been looking for all year.
Yeah.
Just before the second race. And, you know, since then I haven't finished a race, so I haven't had time to test it over a race distance, but I'm pretty confident that it's really good. And so, like I said earlier, we've got two more chances to try that in a race situation. And the chassis has actually come a long way from where we were at the start of the year, and a lot of hard work's been done. And I'm actually really happy with it now.
So, do you have I hate to ask, but it is silly season. I mean, do you have plans to continue with KWS for next year?
Well, it just depends. Everything that they're getting their deal together at the minute. So I'm obviously talking to them at the minute, but at the minute it seems like it's early stages and it seems very slow. Just like last year, everything's so slow to fall into place, and nobody wants to commit.
Kind of. Yeah, and the same question I asked Melissa, and frankly, I might even ask Josh. Moto 2?
What, me?
In fact, I asked this from Michael Lavery the other day. Any ideas about heading over to Moto 2?
It's pretty cool. Like, I love the idea of the class, but the only thing that puts me off it, I haven't seen the bike in the flesh yet. I've seen pictures of it, or the bikes that they've been building, the chassis and stuff. And it kind of looks the way in which 250s and MotoGP bikes have been going over the last couple of years, which is quite small. For me, it's true. I don't want to be riding something which is too small for me.
Yeah.
I've done that before, and it doesn't really work very well, so that looks like one of the only thing that puts me off it.
Tall are you, Chaz?
Just over 6 foot.
Ah, so okay, you're a lanky dude like I am, and I'm an unsuccessful racer, and you're a quite successful racer. I mean, it seems like the Aprilia, and maybe, well, you know, you've got, so who do you have on the RS24 right now? And you've sat on it, and I sat on it when I was at Miller as well. You've got, you know, a shrimp like Biaggi, and then another kind of smallish guy like Nakano, but it still seems like a lanky bike.
The only guy that you can really say is my height, and probably actually he's about my height. He's shorter than me. It's Alex Hoffman, who's testing it at the minute.
Yeah.
And I think my dad went to Barcelona. My mom and dad went to Barcelona, and they asked Alex about it, and he said it was actually surprisingly big. It looks even Max and Shinya make it look small, but he said it's surprisingly big.
Yeah. All right. Well, I wish you best of luck at New Jersey. You guys could use it. Rocky's hair will be coming full in full glory. And frankly, you and Chip and Kevin and Jimmy deserve the best of luck for, frankly, a podium finish and a top of the step would be a brilliant result for the end. So, please do go do that, and I will be cheering you on. Absolutely. And then on to the warming up, Mr. Hayes.
He's retired from the band now. Just for a second, here he is. How are you, Mr. Jim?
I'm doing well. How are you, Josh?
Oh, so far so good.
So far so good. We've never. I think I've once. You know, giving you a high five at Sears Point. In fact, I did this year, but we haven't had a chance to talk. But dude, you've had an outstanding season. Besides, I don't even want to talk about VIR yet. Tell me about your lead up and your work with Yamaha.
I had been after Yamaha for quite a while, but they have a tendency to hang on to the people that they've got.
Absolutely.
So they kept their guys for quite a while, but, kind of the feeling of home is one of the reasons that I think I wanted to get there. You know, I've been working pretty hard for a long time and had big hopes of getting on a superbike, and finally the time was right, and they've been able to get me into the superbike program over there, and you know, I'm just trying to make them proud at this point.
And you've like worked super long and hard to get into the superbike program. You know, I one of the people that I regularly interview, and I've done for quite some time, is Eugene Laverty, and you spent a lot of time riding on the bike that was his, and that is his now, but was Craig Jones before with Park Algar, and you had a chance to do several European World Supersport rounds last year. I wanted to talk to you then, but I never got a chance. But kind of tell me about the lead in then, because that, I think that was the thing that pointed you into the Superbike program this year, or at least like got people's attention that you were somebody that needed to be focused on.
Well, you know, I don't know that the races in World Supersport helped me so much here in the U.S. I would hope that winning two championships in a row in Formula Extreme and
True.
Things like that would have played True. A little bit bigger role in that. But I was extremely excited to go over there and play, or, you know, I say go over there and play, to go over there and race against the world stuff. I was pretty frustrated overall with how things are going here in the U.S. because I had some really good success, but I couldn't seem to get myself into the right position to get on the right job and get that superbike that I had been looking for. So, you know, frustration is actually more the reason that I think I went over there in the first place was, hey, you know what, I can't get what I'm looking for here in the U.S. Maybe it's time for me to go look over there. And, you know, it was just, I think, a series of coincidences that it worked out that was about the time that somebody started taking me seriously and finally putting me on a superbike here.
The final ride that you had at Portimao, with the head swing from, your buddy Keenan, that was, kind of amusing.
Yeah, it was interesting. I was bummed actually to see it. You know, it wasn't, my idea how the reigning world champion should be acting on a motorcycle personally, but, you know, it was funny. I had a lot of people ask me, oh, what happened? What did you do? You know, what kind of got that started? And quite honestly, I don't honestly know. I didn't race with him any harder than any of those guys there in that series, and my three races had raced with me.
Well, and as he's proven this year, he's certainly not one to give it back again. So I was there at Sears Point for your first win this year, and that was spectacular and quite amazing. And you know, it's a lot of people are like, oh, you snapped the string, but that's not even it. It was. It was an achievement you've been trying to make for a while, and now you've done doubles, and that's absolutely incredible. Tell me about VIR.
Yeah, all in all, you know, it's been a pretty good year, and it's been fun to have success in the class. I've wanted to be there for a long time, and now to be a 5-time superbike race winner and have more superbike wins than anybody except Matt Mladen in the field in my very first season. You know, it's pretty amazing for me, and it's really good because I've been hoping to prove that I belonged in this class for a long time. And so, you know, with that kind of happening, of course, it makes you feel good inside. So that's been pretty good. You know, I know how hard some people work for it. Ben Bostrom, you know, you got an AMA Superbike champion. You only got 2 career AMA Superbike wins. And kind of helps put it into perspective for me a little bit. And there's a lot of guys in that field that have been working for Superbike wins for a long time. So, you know, right now the Yamaha has been a pretty good bike to me, especially the second half of the season. It was a little slow getting started, but my crew and I have worked really hard, and here we are, you know, forced to be reckoned with here at the end.
Yeah, there's nothing like the sound of, and I say this, totally as a fan, there's nothing like the sound of the R1 like just howling down a straight. It's scary in a way. It sounds like a totally different bike than pretty. It sounds like a triple, but it's just, it howls, and
Yeah, well, it's a fantastic bike. It's a little different than the Ducati and the Buell. It doesn't just get louder. It actually changes pitch a little bit, which is, you know, a little different than those guys. But it's definitely a unique sound.
How much can you hear while you're on it?
You know, it's funny. When we first got the bikes, they had a really, really long exhaust can, a pair of really long exhaust cans on them. So we actually could not hear them hardly at all. And we were sitting at the Daytona tire test, and I kept hearing the thing go by on the front straightaway, and it sounded like the Jetsons car. It went on the front straight. And we all kind of had a laugh about it. So they actually made us some shorter mufflers and got a little bit of sound back to it. And it's more of a – it is different than the inline fours that I've ridden before because it's more of a feel than it is a sound. You know, I rode a lot more by sound, by pitch of the engine with inline fours until now. And now it's more by – you get more feeling from the motor. From the motorcycle, so it's just a little bit different in that aspect.
And you're running with, what, Akrapovic or who?
Yeah, we have Akrapovic.
Okay, okay. Yeah, they make some fine pipes, don't they? Thanks for all this, and I think you and I probably should have done the same thing with both Mel and Chaz, but you want to throw a shout-out to your sponsors?
Well, yeah, of course, you know, Team Yamaha and all of the people that come together to make that happen, you know, Dunlop, Braking, all those guys. And then, you know, I really need to thank my personal sponsors that have stuck behind me for ever since I've been in AMA Pro Racing, which are Technique Leathers and Arai Helmets. And then a little bit newer to the fold in the last 2 or 3 years has been TCX Boots, which have taken really good care of me. And, you know, other than that, I got to thank the people who back me up. I've got my parents, my beautiful wife,
your beautiful broken wife.
My beautiful broken wife, unfortunately. And then, of course, you know, there's a whole list of other people. You know, I have a lot of good people around me. I have a good crowd. I have a lot of people that help me train and do everything right. Even having Chaz here is pretty good for me. So, and all the people I've met along the way.
Yeah, and you're kind of like the local refuge stop for people that that come in and out. I know you've had both the Laverty brothers in, who I talk to all the time. What is it? And from Twitter, the coffee stop, apparently there's some infamous coffee place down there.
Yeah, that's Chaz's favorite. It's the Cup. We actually have quite a few places like that that are frequented on a daily basis. There's the Cup, which is the coffee shop for breakfast, and then there's Red Cup, which is the self-serve yogurt place that you pay by the pound. So,
and so
that place gets visited on a daily basis when we're training.
So who decimates who on the push bikes?
Oh, man. I don't do too bad. I hold my own okay. I would say that Chaz was probably the strongest of all of us when he's riding a lot, especially if there's any climbing. He's young, man. He's young. He's 6 foot tall. You know, he's kind of built for it. And
the lanky legs
to spin myself when I ride with him.
All right, so
I have to remind myself when I ride with him that I'm a motorcycle racer, not a cyclist.
All right, so yeah, I hear protests from the background. So the ultra surprise from today for MotoGPOD listeners, and if you will indulge me, apparently, you guys, well, no, I've pushed you into this, and I take full fault if it falls on its face. You will play a song for us today?
It sounds like I don't know if I have a choice yet. First off, we got to know, what do you guys want to hear, a little bit of Eye of the Tiger or what?
You know what? Whatever you're best at, go for that. I know you have to have a favorite song, the one that you guys rip through like 10 or 15 times. Go for that.
Chaz on this.
Okay.
He's waiting for you to pick a song there, buddy. We're waiting on
Hey,
Chaz here.
Josh, thank you.
Yeah.
Good job.
No problem. Thanks. Oh, I'm thinking unless you think of something, he said, what's our best song?
We're
a hole. That's what I told you. We don't have a whole lot because we had to start over.
Well, you guys have done so much bragging. I know that you have to have something that's good.
All right, we're going with Eye of the Tiger. So
yeah,
that's way 80s.
Yeah, I'll pick it up. Let's do like 10 seconds of it, and then I'll make sure the levels are fine, and then we'll start it again.
Sounds good.
Okay.
He said we need to do. He said we need to do about 10, 15 seconds of it.
Yep.
And check the levels, and then we'll start again.
Exactly.
All right, you're on speaker.
Yeah, and it sounds good.
We're about to start. Just load it up. On the rock.
Go.
Josh is just doing a line of code. Hold up.
Okay, stop. Stop.
How's that?
It's shit. I can't hear. It sounds like the phone pickup is behind the TV, and picture yourself. Picture yourself being in front of the TV, and you would want to hear the output. So I can't hear. What I want to hear is a combination of what you guys are doing with the output. So I think you need to turn the pickup or the speakers on the TV up, and I'll try and filter your input down. You know what I mean? Yeah?
If you want to put that video podcast.
It's an audio podcast, and I could point to it. I've been telling you guys to do a video for ages. I would love to point people to an Eye of the Tiger video of you guys. But that would mean that you'd actually have to do it by, say, Wednesday.
We moved the phone. Let's see how this works.
Okay, try it again. It's not what I thought it was going to be.
I don't know that I'm going to be able to do much better, honestly.
Yeah, I would say do the video. Not denigrating your talents by any means. I'm certain that were I there and had a beer in hand and was perhaps playing rhythm guitar, I would be all over it. Still the thought, I can picture it. It just doesn't quite work out. It's like radio, man. It's like you can't picture somebody. So I will take what I have, and thank you. And this will be on Friday, MotoGPOD.com, which if you guys are curious, I did an interview with Mike Laverty last weekend right after he had his crap time. And we'll put it on Friday. And, Mel and Chaz and Josh, all three of you guys, thanks. I think it's been great.
Yes, thanks for having us.
Okay.
All right. And, Josh, get Mel back on the bike, or at least like a bike that she doesn't have to bend her legs on.
I'm fine.
All right, guys. Have a good afternoon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.